comes to the enthusiasm to get out the vote in the 2018 midterms, Democrats heavily outweigh the Republicans. Florida Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam is coming under a lot of heat. Reports say that on several occasions, his office failed to log into the FBI crime database used to do background checks on applicants applying for concealed weapons permits. And President Trump says he's ready for the historic nuclear summit meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
It is the 7 a.m. hour. Open lines at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Eddie Lynch is going to join us. He's one of the political writers for Florida Daily. com, and he's going to join us here in a little bit about the Bernie Sanders crowd. They say that all their issues are resonating not with, Roger, the Democrats, but with mainstream individuals out there. Yeah. That means you and I.
I think it's depending on who
I think I'm mainstream.
Maybe
I?
If you're talking about the mainstream, you know, people out there in New Hampshire, maybe them. But I don't know if this, you know, across the country, I don't know about that. Maybe.
Let us go. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Before we get to the phones, let us go back and play the media montage earlier of Trump and North Korea.
President essentially daring the leader of nuclear-armed North Korea tonight to prove that his button works. This is our world now.
16 tweets today to start the new year, some of them deeply disturbing. These are the messages from a person who is not well, from a leader who is not fit for office.
Trump needs to be medicated and hospitalized at this point, or he is going to just kill all of us.
His recent tweet about North Korea and the nuclear button, the size of the nuclear button that has raised alarm bells, not just from Democrats, but from Republicans as well.
Now it's June of 2018. Fox News' Benjamin Hall about the historic summit between President Trump and the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
Between a sitting U.S. president and the leader of North Korea, and if it is successful, this could mean the end to the major foreign policy threat currently being faced by the U.S. and its allies. Kim's arsenal, as well as his ballistic missiles, if it is success. But of course, there's a long way to go. Many people feel that this is just the first step.
Is this all to do with much about nothing? I mean, is this a monumental move like Nixon in China back in the 70s? Is this really going to amount to anything? I want to know what you think on this issue as well. At 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's go to Mike. Mike, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, guys. I was wondering if you two could answer me a question. If the United States offers up $100 round figures in dairy products to Canada, what's the total price? I mean, I know we lose, but what does it amount to with 270% tariff?
What's wrong with my mic here? Be a little bit more specific, Mike. I'm trying to follow you.
Okay, if we sell Canada $100 in dairy products and they're charging us 270% tariff, what does that $100 end up being? Negative $270?
Well, it depends. I mean, is it just the dairy product itself? I mean, we also do other trade with, actually, you're talking about Canada. We also do other things with Canada as well. I mean, I'm still trying to follow your point here.
Well, if we're losing money trying to trade with someone, why don't we just, I don't want us to be an isolationist country.
Right.
Why don't we just give it away to Cuba, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Guatemala, and we're actually saving money. I'm just trying to equate what 270% amounts to for us. It's we're losing money.
Yeah, it's kind of like if we import more than we export, and why do we have a deficit, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that's never made much sense. I mean, you have economists out there that I've interviewed that say, well, the deficits is a good thing. I mean, having like a little bit of debt is good for your credit as long as you're managing it, but not the way sometimes we see it. Yeah, I wonder where this whole thing with Canada is going to go. I mean, Mike, some of the emails I got over the weekend is like, how do we put ourselves in this position? That's where a lot of people are asking how we got ourselves here.
Yeah, I know. It's finally coming to light. I mean, this 270% has just been talked a lot. I mean, how long has, you know, this been around? 40 years? I mean, it's ridiculous, but thanks for your time.
Hey, Mike, thanks for – I didn't mean to play – I wasn't playing stupid. I was just trying to follow his point. I wasn't trying to proclaim he was stupid. I just wanted to follow up what he was going on with some of that. President Trump says North Korea's got one shot to get it right. It could be a great opportunity for him.
It's unknown territory in the truest sense. But I really feel confident. I feel that Kim Jong-un wants to do something great for his people. And he has that opportunity. And he won't have that opportunity again. It's never going to be there again.
The Inspector General report is supposed to come out this Thursday about how the FBI handled, or Roger, some would say mishandled, the Clinton FBI scandal. Actually, some would call it the FBI Clinton email scandal, but it was a Clinton email scandal. Did the FBI and Jim Comey and others, did they mishandle it? What was left out? Maria Bartiromo from Fox Business News.
You are getting your first crack at Michael Horowitz, the IG, yeah. The DOJ Inspector General Horowitz announcing he will release his report on the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation this upcoming week on June 14th. Horowitz has accepted an invitation from the Senate Judiciary Committee to testify about that report a few days later.
Here's a question I would ask as a reporter, Roger. I'd like to ask the audience this morning, if you're going to have the Inspector General come through with this, and I want to play the clip from Lindsey Graham here in a moment. Do you want to ask more about, okay, how were some of the servers, you know, bleached and wiped down and some of the other things? Or would you ask more about, okay, again, we're prefacing all this. We don't know what all the Inspector General's going to say.
Right.
Where was the Department of Justice? Did you actually get any help from Jeff Sessions? Makes you wonder if they did. Maybe President Trump has shown his displeasure with Attorney General Sessions. Conservative pundits have shown displeasure. But when Jeff Sessions and others of the FBI have been asked about, well, can you talk to us about the Clinton email scandal? They say negative. We cannot talk about it. And of course, now everybody wants to call for this and, you know, maybe he needs to be fired. What if the Inspector General, who has Department of Justice, had actually gotten aid and assistance from Jeff Sessions and those in this investigation? That's the kind of question I would ask, Roger.
You know what? It's very possible. You really bring out some very interesting possibilities that could come forth. You know, who knows? You know, we don't know for sure. I think it probably won't amount to a whole lot, but it'll be very interesting if Hillary Clinton is facing some criminal charges.
To you out there listening, it's a good point. To you out there listening this morning, if I may be, let me play devil's advocate. What difference does it make if the Inspector General comes out and talks about the Clinton email scandal? Oh, I think there's more to talk about. I think the real avenue we want to go down is, what did the FBI do and what they did not know about it?
Right.
Same questions want to be asked by South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
Long time. Do you believe the way the FBI handled the Clinton email investigation, it was on the up and up? Do you believe it was fair? Do you believe they were in the tank for Clinton and hated Trump? Was it really a serious investigation, or was it a politically compromised? As to the FISA warrant, do you believe it was appropriate for the Democratic Party to hire a foreign agent to go to Russia to get dirt on candidate Trump, and the FBI and the DOJ use that dossier that's never been verified to get a warrant against an American citizen? I want to hear him say one way or the other whether or not the Clinton email investigation was professionally done on the up and up, and what he thinks about the FISA warrant.
I don't know. Did I miss something? Did he sum it all up right there?
It sounds like he did.
I wonder, you know, we talked about this last year, you know, when you and I got off the air after Jim Comey was sitting in front of his Senate committee. I said, man, I did my miles, got sat back, got the popcorn, and I watched it all day. I wonder if this is going to be the same thing. I am looking forward, I think, coming out on Thursday.
Okay.
This is when this is supposed to happen. We might even carry it live here. I think sometimes we carry the Comey hearings. I think we may carry the hearings live here, because I'm going to be kind of curious of how the Democrats will respond, because this is not a Republican appointee. This was a Barack Obama, Michael Horowitz appointee. And Inspector Generals, even the Inspector Generals in AW, had said, hey, you know, there's a lot of spending going on. The Inspector Generals are pretty much an island of their own. But yet he has no authority to call for this and call for that. I'm going to be quite interesting to see what happened. Does he give out names? What's going to take place? I wonder if it may come across, as some would say, that maybe there isn't anything there whatsoever. But to me, I'm going to be kind of curious of what may be asked by the Democrats. 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
I-95 south at Pecan Park near the airport. There's a broken down car on the side. 295 going north at New Kings Road. Look out for a crash. And 95 south at State Road 9B. There's a car with engine trouble. Traffic this morning being brought to you by Snyder Heating. There's around a 40% chance of rain with thunderstorms today and a high near 90. Partly cloudy this evening. Overnight, the low 73. And right now, it is 73 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam's coming under a lot of heat. Reports say on several occasions his office failed to log into the FBI crime database used to do background checks on applicants applying for concealed weapons permits. President Trump says he's ready for the historic nuclear summit meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. And an NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that when it comes to the enthusiasm to get out the vote in 2018 midterms, Democrats heavily outweigh Republicans.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at WBOB.com.
15 minutes after the hour, I'm Ed Dean here in the mornings on Talk Radio, WBOB, Roger Henderson. I'm going to get to our good friend Ed Lynch here in a few moments. Colonel Michael Waltz from Fox News contributor is going to join us as well. Taking calls right now, 222-TALK, 222-8255. The economy's doing so well, and yet the liberals are out there saying, we got to crash the economy to get rid of Trump. I thought this was a comedy sketch from Bill Maher, but I guess it wasn't.
Can I ask about the economy? Because this economy is going pretty well. We have to, what? Why is that funny?
It is going well for now.
For now, right. That's my, thank you. That's my question.
For now.
Is, like, I feel like the bottom has to fall out at some point. And by the way, I'm hoping for it, because I think one way you get rid of Trump is a crashing economy. Yeah. So please, bring on the recession. Yeah. Sorry if that hurts people, but it's either root for a recession or you lose your democracy.
Coming up this Thursday, the Inspector General Michael Horowitz from the Department of Justice is going to be sitting in front of a Senate Intelligence Committee to talk about his findings of the Clinton email investigation of how it was handled or mishandled. Fox Business News' Maria Bartiromo.
Well, you are getting your first crack at Michael Horowitz, the IG, yeah. The DOJ Inspector General Horowitz announcing he will...
IG, the DOJ, the AG, what's going on here?
He'll release his report on the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation this upcoming week on June 14th. Horowitz has accepted an invitation from the Senate Judiciary Committee to testify about that report a few days later.
Going to get to Ed Lynch here in a brief moment. 222-TALK. Let's go. I mean, a lot of people want to weigh in on this issue, and they've been doing it already. 7 a.m. hour, 17 minutes after the hour. James, good morning. You're on WBOB. What's going on?
Hey, guys. My comment on the whole IG and Steele dossier. Here's the problem I have with all this. Okay.
All right.
So the Democrats claim that they knew the dossier was fake, but then they go on national TV and have luncheons and laugh it out and say, well, hee, 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 ha, ha, ha. That's opposition research. We've done that in every presidential campaign. So, you see, and so
yeah.
I'm glad Lindsey Graham brought that up, because hang on a minute. No, you guys hired a foreign agent, and then here they are talking about Russia, Russia, Russia. That's the problem I have with the Steele dossier, that it was... Okay, so the Democrats are saying it's legal, and the Republicans are trying to, you know, bring out the facts to say that it was illegal. So the problem, that's why they keep saying, well, let the American people decide. Okay, well we will. That's what's going to happen with that.
Roger, I think James brings up a very valid point. Okay, so let's say it was incredible, but they were doing opposition research. James is exactly correct. It's, well, if it doesn't go this route, we can always use Plan B.
Right.
Right, right, and that's where in the end, in the end, we need to know the truth, and we need to know exactly. We don't need to know, you know, the truth. The truth needs to be the truth. It can't be, you know, a lie. It has to be right. So it won't happen again in our next election. I'm much more concerned about, we can be our own worst enemy. I'm much more concerned about our own government on a scale from 1 to 10. Than I am the Russians or the Chinese or any other
right.
foreigner.
Well, I would agree with you on that one, Sam. Good to talk to you. Here on our newsmaker line from FloridaDaily.com, very well-known political commentator with the Florida Radio Network. This guy, one of the best here in Florida. You've seen him on Fox News, our good friend Ed Lynch. Hey, Ed, I mean, and I know that you love playing the partisan label, but you're also a news guy as well. If you could, this whole Inspector General report that's supposed to come out this week, or he's also going to be talked about in the Intelligence Committee, it's the mishandling or the handling of the Clinton FBI investigation. If you could ask a question or an issue within all these issues, what would be, if you had like 5 minutes to ask a question, instead of making comments like everybody else, what questions would you ask about the Inspector General? By the way, he was a Barack Obama appointee. What would you ask?
Oh, there's so many questions that you want to get out there. I mean, number one, you know, why aren't you investigating Hillary? Why aren't you investigating Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the fact that you have a foreign agent who's an IT guy that's in charge of all of the stuff for also Ted Deutch and many other members of Congress, and he has access to, you know, top secret things? Why aren't you investigating everyone who's involved with this situation instead of just picking and choosing? Why have you stopped investigating Russia? Because you found nothing, and because you're looking to find any other scrap of evidence about anything that could possibly go wrong? I mean, you're threatening the children of people who are related to a situation maybe that has nothing to do with Russia anymore, and you're blackmailing these people into trying to get them to turn on Donald Trump. I mean, there's a ton of questions that need to be asked, but the bottom line is, I mean, intelligence community, that's the biggest oxymoron I've ever heard.
Ah! That's a good one. Now, let me ask this question here, Ed. Is when you break some of this down, and let me play devil's advocate. I don't know about you. I've read your articles. You've been on this radio show for the last several years. Are you one of these guys, and let me play a two-parter here real quick. Are you one of these guys calling for the removal of Jeff Sessions? Because every time he's asked a question by Congressman DeSantis and Jimmy Jordan and some of the other guys, who I like, by the way, the question is well, what do you know about the email investigation? And they always sit back and say, or are you investigating the Clinton Foundation? No comment. Is it quite possible? Here's the second part that I'm getting at, Ed. Is it quite possible that on Thursday, the Inspector General, the Barack Obama appointee, may be coming out saying, yeah, and guess who was one of the biggest benefactors with our research was the Attorney General Jeff Sessions? Is he going to be owed an apology by conservatives that have called for him to be removed?
The problem that we have is these conservatives that ask him to be removed are stupid. They're sitting there and asking him to be removed for the wrong reasons. He needs to be removed because he's done nothing about Hillary Clinton. He's done nothing about Debbie Wasserman Schultz's handling of the IT guy. He's done nothing about a ton of things. He's not doing his job. And the truth of the matter is, that's why he needs to be removed. But, you know, look, when you can't dispute the message, you must marginalize the messenger. And that's what they're doing. Oh, Jeff Sessions this, Jeff Sessions. Forget about all of that stuff. He should be gone because he's not doing his job, like most of Congress.
What area is he not doing his job? I mean, he's going after MS-13. They're going after the borders, which is much more important than, you know, some Russia Trump. I mean, even on the issues. So, I mean, so he's not coming forthright because maybe there's an investigation going on with the Clintons. So he's not answering the questions. I mean, you've been in the legal world, Ed. I mean, you can't say some things and you can.
Yeah, absolutely. How about there's an investigation going on with Hillary Clinton? Why is there nothing going? I mean, this is a clear-cut case of her. She was issued a subpoena by a federal court, and they said, save this evidence. And she said, no, I'm not going to so much. I'm going to destroy this. Oops, look what happened there. She destroyed it after the subpoena. That is the ultimate example of obstructing justice. And Sessions does nothing about it. And it's really proving that there are two sets of laws, one for those corrupt animals in Washington, D.C., most of who are scumbag lawyers, and then for the rest of us schmucks, that if we proclaim that we're against something, that therefore they use the Justice Department, like they did with the IRS, to come after us.
Real quick, by the way, Ed Lynch here, here on the radio show. Here was Bernie Sanders that says that I'm going to play clip number 8 for you. He says the progressive agenda, his socialist agenda, that's what he calls it. He says it's not just resonating with Democrats. He says, quote, it's resonating with mainstream individuals out there. Clip number 8.
Candidates who are fighting for working people. And by the way, where we are winning hands down is that our progressive agenda, which, as you will remember, a few years ago was considered to be fringe and extreme, that's kind of mainstream America now. The American people do support Medicare for all, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, making public colleges and universities tuition-free, rebuilding our infrastructure through a trillion-dollar investment. Our ideas are winning, and at the grassroots level, more and more people are
going. Okay, so this is what's funny about this here, Ed. He says that, forget about how this was extreme just a couple years ago. I don't know how it went from extreme 2 years ago to becoming not mainstream with Democrats, but mainstream with the average Joe. When you even had we play the clip, you had the CEO of Starbucks, for crying out loud, last week saying he differs with people like Bernie Sanders and how you're going to pay for this single-payer health care for all out there.
No, Schultz is awesome. I got to tell you. I mean, if he was running against a scumbag lawyer, I'd vote for Schultz in a heartbeat. The guy understands economics, and economics doesn't have party lines. I mean, when Bernie's talking about, you know, the mainstream is accepting what? I mean, what really has to be done? We have the lowest unemployment rate in practically history for some categories, and in 18 years. I mean, the economy is booming. Trump is going after trade and saying, you know what, we're going to have fair trade. You don't like it, you're out of here. I mean, we're the biggest customer on the face of the earth, and not one of these other countries can afford to lose us as a customer. They're going to have to bow up a little bit and pretend that they have to be tough because they're leaders of their own country. But the truth of the matter is they have to acquiesce to whatever America wants. And it's about time we start standing up for Americans. So there is no mainstream, you know, big populist movement that's supporting these things. People are understanding, wow, we can't afford some stuff, so we're going to have to figure out what to do. We've got a big push right now for people not going to colleges and saying, you know what, college isn't for everyone. Let's do what we can do to get people involved in other things and other industries. And that's going real. That's becoming mainstream right now. These guys have no clue what they're doing. They just have to get out there beat the drum. And if they do it enough, maybe they think they'll convince people that that's the way it is.
From FloridaDaily.com and the Florida Radio Network, Ed Lynch, good to talk to you.
Absolutely, buddy. Have a great day.
All right. So there you go. I mean, but you got the Democrats out over the weekend saying, for example, the Hollywood Times out there on MSNBC. Here's Director Rob Reiner saying, we've got to go after Trump. I mean, he's selling our government out to foreigners, and we got to battle for the soul for our democracy.
Points out the soul of democracy. We're fighting for it right now. and 2018, this November, I'm telling you, a lot is going to go. I mean, everybody says this every time. It's the every most time. Important election. But this really is. If we don't have a Democratic Congress that can at least start the hearings to shine some light on what's been going on. This is the most corrupt presidency in American history. I don't care. Teapot Dome and Watergate and Iran-Contra, these are like child's play compared to, you know, selling our country out to a foreign enemy power. Yeah. It just doesn't get any worse.
I mean, you notice he didn't mention China Gate with Johnny Wong and Charlie Wong and all the guys in the 1990s, and of course the fast, you know, Benghazi, Fast and Furious, the IRS scandal, the NSA spying scandal in 2013. None of that was ever mentioned when it comes to that. A lot of this comes on the heels because the NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that when it comes to enthusiasm, these are people that are pumped. They find they're like, when you call the likely voters that are normally or registered voters, hey man, we're going to get out in the polls this year. Now, whether you buy into them or not, the enthusiasm gap is 63 Democrats, 45, almost a 20-point lead for the Republicans. According to the same article out there by CNBC of the Wall Street Journal poll, that they haven't seen any numbers like this since that of the days of 2010 and 2014, Roger, when the Republicans picked up major seats.
You say elections are won and lost on voter turnout. If
that's
right. If enthusiasm isn't there, we'll have to wait and see how things
go. Now, so here's a question. Do you out there listening right now, do you believe that's a fake news poll? Because the same poll also showing that the majority of people also give President Trump the credit for the economy. So, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You gotta be a little bit consistent here. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see where all this goes along. And we will continue to cover more as we continue to move along. Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-10 going toward downtown, there's backup beginning at Lane. 1% chance of rain today. Currently 73 degrees here at WBOB.
All right.
Dictator Kim Jong-un. An NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that when it comes to the enthusiasm to get out the vote in 2018 midterms, Democrats heavily outweigh the Republicans. And Florida Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam is coming under a lot of heat. Reports say that on several occasions, his office failed to log into the FBI crime database used to do background checks on applicants applying for concealed weapons permits.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Don't forget, go to the website. Many of you do it every day. You listen on your smartphones. Just go to WBOB.com, WBOB.com, download the app, catch the show. Any part of the show, by the way, they've missed, Roger, they can always catch it, unedited. Of course, we never ended the show anyway, so unless we do a replay. But 222-TALK, 222-8255. Here on the issue with North Korea, on our newsmaker line, he's a Fox News contributor, author of the book Warrior Diplomat, former Green Beret. He was a commander and colonel, I guess, and he knows all the stuff that's going on. Our friend Colonel Michael Waltz here on our newsmaker line. So let me ask a couple of questions. I mean, you're also a business owner. So the art of negotiating, what do? You go in with Trump. Do you come in and sit back and go, okay, here are the pictures. It's either this or you can go with that. You can go with this or you can go with that. I mean, I don't know. But is the question is, Colonel, is do you go in to have a negotiation by saying, listen, man, you're in your 30s, dude. You got plenty of time. Get rid of your nukes. We can handle the situation like this. Or do you go in by saying, you got one shot to get this right. Otherwise, we may have military confrontation. What road do you take, Colonel?
Well, I think, Ed, I was in the White House when the last time we had what was called the six-party talks under the Bush administration. And what President Trump has been, I think, very successfully trying to do is changing the North Korean and, by extension, the Chinese calculus. You know, the North Koreans believe, Kim Jong-un believes, he has to have this missile program, this nuclear-tipped ICBM, in order to guarantee his survival. And what President Trump, I think, very effectively has made him understand, backed up by Mike Pompeo with multiple visits, is that no, actually, if you get this program and it does become fully operational, it will mean your destruction. But the only way they could do that, and this is what Barack Obama could never understand, is that diplomacy is actually helped by the credible threat of military force. That's what helps our diplomats sitting at the table, and that's what's going to help President Trump at this summit, is that I think Kim Jong-un and President Xi of China truly believe that he will use military force to eliminate this threat to the American homeland, and therefore that's the choice that Kim Jong-un has. In terms of your question, you know, how do you walk in? I think you do walk in, as President Trump has said repeatedly, that North Korea can re-enter, you know, kind of the family of nations, the international community. There can be a better path here, but the prerequisite there is complete, verifiable, irreversible dismantlement of their program.
Now, those out there, some on the conservative aisle, a lot of the left, believe that containment is the right way. There will be some that will say, Colonel, that wait a second, what's bringing him to the table is a lot of the sanctions out there. Do you believe the sanctions are bringing him to the table, or use of military from this country is bringing him to the table?
Well, I think it's both. The sanctions, this administration has put more sanctions in the last 18 months than the previous administration did in 8 years. And so those sanctions are starting to bite. I think China started to believe that we would also sanction their entities for doing business with North Korea, which the administration has done and was putting the pieces in place to do again. So I think it's both. The sanctions strangling the economy, which, by the way, have all been left in place, none of which have been lifted. And then separately, that at the end of the road, if you get this program, we will destroy it militarily. Therefore, let's find a better way. And I think it's been a combination of those two things that have gotten us to the table. Look, Ed, I'm a skeptic as well, in the sense that the North Koreans can be using this to buy time. Don't believe for a second that their missile engineers and their nuclear engineers are taking a vacation while all of this is going on. They are busy little bees advancing that program. But if he believes, and I think this is the bottom line message President Trump has to deliver, if 8, 9, 10 months from now you drag this out and then you pop out with a capability, that will not be good for North Korea's survival.
Here on our Newsmaker Line, Fox News contributor, Colonel Michael G. Waltz, author of the book Warrior Diplomat. Is the main issue here, which you've worked in the White House, I'm sure that the Trump administration knows, is going to have to be with the situation of China. China is like the stepdad to North Korea. Is China going to have to approve all of this? I mean, are we in talks with China? Do you think we sit back and tell China first what we may propose to North Korea?
Yeah.
Or are we just telling China, hey, this is what we're doing. You either jump on or jump off.
Well, and that's the difficulty here. Both China and Russia can be the spoilers. You know, we can come to an agreement, and then they can begin undermining it afterwards for their own reasons. We also have to keep in mind South Korea and Japan's interests in this, which are slightly different than ours. And that's why under the Bush administration, we pushed for what we called six-party talks with everybody at the table, that everybody agrees. On the one hand, it does solidify the agreement, but on the other hand, as you can imagine, it made things drag out for years and years and years, and President Trump accelerated the program and accelerated diplomacy by going right to a summit. I think that was the right move at this point, given how close North Korea is to having a fully functional ICBM that can strike the homelands. So to your point, the concern is after the summit and whether North Korea tries to use this to drag things out, you know, in follow-on negotiations. When can inspectors have access? What sites can they have access to? And then China kind of slowly undermining things. So hopefully they are on board. I know we're having a series of separate conversations with the Chinese. And again, the message is clear. The sanctions will stay in place. We must have a moratorium on missile and nuclear testing. And if at the end of the day, North Korea insists and pushes forward with having a program, we will destroy it militarily. And the Chinese do not want that in their backyard. And that turns North Korea into more of a liability for the Chinese than an asset.
You know, it's in the 2000s, you know, we gave 32 different reasons why that the reason to invade Iraq was needed, whether it was about Western-style democracy, weapons of mass destruction, right, associated, whatever. And we can always debate that another day. But I wonder if you go in and say, guys, come on, man, let us sit down, let's reason together, let's try to bring in some free markets, let's do some trade, you will benefit, your country will benefit. But yet, let's be honest, I mean, the North Koreans are, I mean, everybody knows about freestyle democracy out there, free markets and things like that. Why is it so much better for them to sell things on the black market? I mean, do you think they will want to go down the route of a Western-style democracy? I mean, what excuses are we going to probably dive ourselves into if we go further with negotiation steps with North Korea?
Well, but to your point on the analogy, Ed, you know, that was the decisions in Iraq were based on intelligence, which is never perfect, and trying to prevent them getting anywhere near as far along as North Korea. I mean, this is a demonstrated program with an ICBM that can reach outer space. All they have to do is perfect the reentry capability and a hydrogen bomb that they've tested. So, I mean, that's very clear, the North Korean threat. You know, whether Kim has decided to make a pivot, you know, a lot of people, I think, are rightly asking, why would he invest the billions that he has in all of these decades with his father and his grandfather to get this close to the finish line and then suddenly just walk away from it? I think a valid argument is that he accelerated the program to have maximum leverage. If he has decided to make a strategic pivot and you know, begin entering North Korea into the international community and create a better life, that perhaps he has maximum leverage. But that's a stretch given their history, and I think that's why a lot of people are very skeptical. That said, the president has said repeatedly he's walking into this with eyes wide open. He will walk away from this deal if it's a bad deal. He is not Barack Obama that just wants a deal so badly and so desperately that he's willing to give up U.S. interests. And certainly, you know, I know John Bolton and his skepticism of North Korea, and Mike Pompeo's in the same place. So I think the president's in the right place on this. And he has a fantastic team around him.
Okay, real quick, I got about a minute left. I'll get emails in the show going, well, you know, if Trump is one of these guys who wants to take troops out of certain areas that he doesn't think we need them in, like the Middle East, and yet he's surrounded, some would say, and to the argument, I understand, some would say, look who he surrounds himself with people like John Bolton, who is a major advocate for keeping troops in the Middle East. Is that for a balancing act, or can these both two sides agree to disagree in an administration?
Well, I think it is a balancing act. We would all like the soldiers to come home. I think it's just, what does that footprint look like? You know, we can affect change without having hundreds of thousands of U.S. boots on the ground. Look at what we've done in Colombia, which was, you know, turning into a narco state. And we've had a few hundred special operators down there for the last few decades that have turned it around. We can do it without tens of thousands on the ground.
All right. Well, yeah. Getting rid of Pablo. So many ways.
But keep in mind, we have 30,000 in Korea, 25,000 in Japan, and I think at the end of the day, that's what's going to be on the table from the North Korean side. Are we willing to make that reduction for giving up? I mean, this is just a prediction that what the North Koreans are going to ask for, and then that's when we have to bring in the South Koreans and the Japanese to make sure they're completely on board.
All right, off of the book, Warrior Diplomat, Colonel Michael Waltz, Fox News contributor. It's always good to talk to you.
All right. Thanks so much, Ed.
All right. So I just don't know. Wonder why. I mean, this just doesn't seem sometimes to come across as a big issue with people, Roger. Maybe they just don't buy into dealing with some of these dictators.
You know, it's a really interesting thing because this particular dictator has nuclear weapons, which is a very, very interesting concern.
And he shot them up.
Who's been firing them towards places like U.S. territory of Guam and Hawaii. So it's concerning.
Maybe they figure because they go out in the middle of the sea, it's not concerning until it comes near the West Coast. I don't know. More of this as we continue to move along. 222-TALK, 222-8255, 43 minutes after the hour. Talk radio, WBOB.
On I-10 this morning, headed toward town, eastbound, there's backup beginning at around Lane Avenue and 295 north at Bay Meadows Road. We're seeing congestion there as there's a chance of rain with thunderstorms this afternoon and a high of about 90 degrees, partly cloudy this evening. Overnight, the low 73. Right now, it is 73 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. An NBC Wall Street Journal poll finds that when it comes to the enthusiasm to get out the vote in 2018 midterms, Democrats heavily outweigh the Republicans. Florida Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam is coming under a lot of heat. Reports say that on several occasions, his office failed to log into the FBI crime database used to do background checks on applicants applying for concealed weapons permits. And President Trump says he's ready for the historic nuclear summit meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Don't forget to go to the app, WBOB.com. Again, that's WBOB.com. You can catch any part of the show that you've missed. You can download it, listen to other shows throughout the rest of the week. Again, that's WBOB.com, WBOB.com. The Department of Justice has come out this past week and say that they will not defend, as some of the lawsuits have been going, still ongoing today, against Obamacare. They will not defend it. In fact, the previous, as you know, Eric Holder underneath the Obama administration defended Obamacare as constitutional. Now the Department of Justice underneath Jeff Sessions, it says, no, we're not going to defend certain key provisions of Obamacare because we believe it is unconstitutional. Here with that news story, CNBC, Bertha Combs.
Melissa, the Trump administration says it will not defend Obamacare against a Texas lawsuit seeking to invalidate the law. The DOJ siding with Texas, arguing that the repeal of the individual mandate means the Affordable Care Act's insurance plan requirements, protections against pre-existing conditions and other things are now unconstitutional. Attorney General Jeff Sessions saying in a letter to Congress, the department in the past has declined to defend a statute in cases in which the president has concluded that the statute is unconstitutional and should not be defended, and that is the case here. Now, 16 state Democratic attorneys general are fighting the other side of the case, so any ruling here is likely going to be appealed to a higher court.
Another area the Supreme Court may take a look at that, but even Bertha Combs also points out that premiums are skyrocketing even for 2019.
Threat, it just adds another layer of uncertainty as insurers are submitting 2019 rate requests right now. We've already seen a number of double-digit requests for increases from 12% in Oregon and Washington to 36% in Maryland, pricing and the loss of the individual mandate.
I'm just wondering.
And there you go. I mean, so do you blame President Trump for the increase in premiums? I thought this was supposed to level off. That's what the surrogates for Obamacare have said. They've also sat back, and again, the $2,500 that people are going to save. When's all this going to level off?
You know what? I don't believe it's going to level off until the Republicans can come up with something that's better, which shouldn't be very hard to accomplish. But just, you know, scrapping portions of Obamacare, leaving others in place, is going to leave it in a worse situation than it is already.
Here's one last clip when it comes to this story here. Should the feds decide when it comes to health care? Should this be left to the states? Remember when President Obama, of course, was back in the White House, many states like Florida with Attorney General Pam Bondi sued the federal government saying that this should be left to the states. Now you've got Democrats, we're going to play the clip for you, that believe that their health care should be more of the, well, let it be federally the way it is, and let us decide whether we want the money or not. Don't let the Department of Justice, I mean, the shoe was on the other foot.
The political blowback of all this is going to be birth. I mean, even Republicans who have been against Obamacare have sought to protect those with pre-existing conditions, the people who need it the most, correct?
It's certainly going to be a big political football. The argument here is that the states individually should be able to decide which parts of the law or what types of law they should have, that it shouldn't be a federal mandate. But nonetheless, you've got to think taxes and Obamacare once again are going to be, you know, front and center as we head towards the midterms.
Now, isn't that quite the irony? So now you've got Democrat attorney generals, you've got Democrat states, Democratic governors out there, Democrats, that have sat back and said, no, we don't want the feds telling what parts they want to enforce, whatever. Leave it. Just let us sit back and decide. And I'm sitting going, wait a second. Wasn't this the same argument that Republicans used back in the 2010, 2011?
Absolutely. In fact, one name comes to mind, Mitt Romney, Massachusetts. They've got a state, I guess you'd call it universal health care system. It's not single payer. And apparently Obama looked at that as a model to roll out Obamacare nationwide. If Massachusetts can do it, why can't the rest of the country?
Well, it wasn't. And by the way, you're right. The same people that were the godfather of Romney Care were also the godfather of Obamacare as well. So the question is, should it be left to the states or should it be left to the feds? So other insurance, car insurance, property and casualty insurance is left to the states.
Right.
So someone asked that question. Why should it be left to the feds? Coming up this Thursday, the Inspector General Michael Horowitz, a Barack Obama appointee, Roger, is going to sit in front of a Senate Intelligence Committee. To talk about how either the FBI handled or did the FBI mishandled the Clinton email scandal and the Clinton email, should we say, investigation. With that news story, Fox Business News anchor Maria Bartiromo.
Well, you are getting your first crack at Michael Horowitz, the IG, the DOJ Inspector General Horowitz, announcing he will release his report on the FBI's handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation this upcoming week on June 14th. Horowitz has accepted an invitation from the Senate Judiciary Committee to testify about that report a few days later.
So it's going to come out on this Thursday. And there's a lot of questions I'd like to ask. But before that, Lindsey Graham, some would sit back and say, kind of has a pretty good take on this, of what questions he would like to ask of the Inspector General Michael Horowitz.
Long time. Do you believe the way the FBI handled the Clinton email investigation, it was on the up and up? Do you believe it was fair? Do you believe they were in the tank for Clinton and hated Trump? Was it really a serious investigation, or was it a politically compromised? As to the FISA warrant, do you believe it was appropriate for the Democratic Party to hire a foreign agent to go to Russia to get dirt on candidate Trump and the FBI and the DOJ use that dossier that's never been verified to get a warrant against an American citizen? I want to hear him say one way or the other whether or not the Clinton email investigation was professionally done on the up and up, and what he thinks about the FISA.
So let me play the devil's advocate. Should we be focusing more on Comey? Should we be focusing more a question that I would ask is of the Inspector General. We haven't heard a lot from Jeff Sessions on this. You know, the president has called, hey, if I would have known he's going to recuse himself, why hasn't he done enough on going after the Clinton email scandal, Clinton Foundation? A lot of conservatives have been asking for his resignation. We don't apply that on here on this show. But the question is, I would ask, has the Attorney General and the current Department of Justice under Jeff Sessions, have they helped you out? Have they been an ally on you obtaining your information? You would think they would have to be, unless all this was done before President Trump got into office.
Well, even afterwards, you know, we'll have to wait and see, you know, what happens on Thursday. It should be very interesting, and I think it's possible that Hillary Clinton could end up facing some criminal charges.
Really?
But President Trump has been very generous with respect to pardons lately. I think that would maybe be a very interesting move if he gave her a pardon, if it needed.
Hey, he's not going to give her a pardon. I don't know, but he'd give himself a pardon. But that is what I'd like to find out. Uh-huh. Did the current Attorney General aid and assist you, legally, of course,
right,
and finding information? Because if this report had gone over when President Trump had gotten sworn in, that means he had to deal with Jeff Sessions out there.
Right.
And I know everybody's been calling for his resignation. I mean, again, when he was asked, and again, I'm kind of curious, when he was asked about, can you comment on this, when Congressman Ron DeSantis and Jimmy Jordan and others asked him, and he says no, and they want demands. Well, why haven't, maybe because there's an ongoing investigation, the Inspector General's coming out with a report, we don't want to leak certain information.
Exactly, and he can't just talk just yet. He and, I believe, Mitch McConnell sometimes get beat up a little bit by those on the right and even in the conservative media as not being team players. But, you know, if you think about it, he may be doing the conservative movement a lot of credit if he is cooperating with the...
Is there going to be the question that I'm also asking right now to you listening is... This is a question, if I may use a phrase of Hillary, what difference does it make?
Right.
If we knew that she was wrong, is the focus more about it? I mean, do you think this is going to actually bring any light at the end of the tunnel, or is this more about the FBI? What if the Inspector General comes out and says, yeah, they could have done a better job, but then what do we do? Do we call for a special counsel to investigate the investigation by the inspector general?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. Hillary Clinton's, I believe her position was, I did not know. But that doesn't make
they it never know.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it legal. You know, she did take an oath to whatever was required for a top clearance, and she apparently violated it.
Bernie Sanders says that the progressive agenda, his, because that's what he calls himself, the socialist agenda, is winning at the polls. This is what he said on CNN.
Who are fighting for working people. And by the way, where we are winning hands down is that our progressive agenda, which, as you will remember, a few years ago was considered to be fringe and extreme, that's kind of mainstream America now. The American.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, it was fringe and extreme. We had Howard Schultz, we play the clip. CEO of Starbucks says, hey, I differ with people like Bernie, you can't pay for this. Now he says a couple of years ago it was extreme. He bypassed whether it was mainstream with the Democrats now. He says it's Main Street with, well, it's main views with Main Street America.
Fringe and extreme, that's kind of mainstream America now. Mm. The American people do support Medicare for all, raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, making public colleges and universities tuition free, rebuilding our infrastructure
wow.
through a $1 trillion investment. Our ideas are winning, and at the grassroots level, more and more people are getting involved.
Tuition free. One thing about Bernie is, as completely some would say as crazy is, he's honest. He lays it out. I mean, how many Democrats do you think would love to say this if they thought that the polls would favor them?
Right.
He knows he's not going to win. So, again, you know, when you got everything to – you got nothing to lose, you got everything to gain, you come out and you tell the truth in many cases.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. He said that mainstream – who is his mainstream?
Yeah, what? You know, San Francisco, California?
Apparently so.
You know, I mean, so is this a mainstream agenda that you think would sell here in Florida?
You know, probably not, you know, unless it's South Beach.
Yeah, even with South – more as we continue to move along. Talk radio WBOB.
If you're on I-10 going east, heading into the 1095 merger, a broken down car is causing some backup there this morning. It's rained with thunderstorms by the afternoon and a high of around 90 degrees. Partly cloudy this evening. Overnight, the low 73. Right now, it is 73 here at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Points out the soul of democracy. We're fighting for it right now. And 2018, this November, I'm telling you, a lot is going to go. I mean, everybody says this every time. It's the
every
most
time.
Important election. But this really is. If we don't have a Democratic Congress that can at least start the hearings to shine some light on what's been going on.
Start the hearings. I think they're dying to say impeachment. I really do.
Going on. This is the most corrupt presidency in American history. I don't care. Teapot Dome and Watergate and Iran Contra. These are like child's play compared to, you know, selling our country out to a foreign enemy power.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get any worse. It doesn't get.
I'm missing the timeline here. When did Trump started selling out our country to foreign power after he was elected? Not saying before.
Right.
When did he start doing that? I mean, what are all the investigations? Okay, you had a Russia collusion investigation going on, which was pre-Trump. But yet again, you've had IRS scandal. You've had Fast and Furious. You've had Benghazi. You've also had the issue of the NSA spying scandal. Of course, I'm sure all those were perpetuated by the Republicans. You know what I'm saying? But the question is what is this? What is this sellout to a foreign entity?
He's probably talking about the at least the accusation of Russian collusion. But the thing about it, you win
the most corrupt presidency.
It's ridiculous. But you have to remember, you win elections at the polls, not at some impeachment proceeding going on.
Well, evidently they think they can. It makes you curious on a lot of that. So, and by the way, the Democrats feel pretty much pumped up. The Wall Street Journal poll finds out from NBC that the enthusiasm is at 63% for the Democrats. Republicans, about 45%. In fact, the Wall Street Journal and the NBC report as of this morning sits back and says that they haven't seen these numbers since the Republicans won 2010, 2014. I wonder if the Republicans are just numb to this. Or they don't buy into the polls. I think everything's just fake news right now. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see how this turns out. You know, it's very easy to feel comfortable if your guy's in the White House to think the midterms don't matter. And that's the concern.
Yeah,
part.
Barack Obama's people didn't think that way. That's why he won in 2012. They had a higher support back in his reelection than his first one. Hour number 3, 8 a.m. hour coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.